We are going to continue this morning with a series of messages that we started several weeks ago on investing in your future. We started a couple of weeks ago on looking at the idea of investing in a life of purpose. And what is our purpose here? And then last week we looked at the idea of investing in a life of commitment and how our commitments shape our values, and what we are committed to says a whole lot about what we value most. And this morning I want us to turn our attention to this idea of investing in a life of sacrifice. Sacrifice is one of those words that sometimes we struggle with, and maybe it has a little bit of a negative connotation with it, where when we think about sacrifice, we think of having to lose weight, we have to cut back on what we eat, or we have to work out more, we have to spend more time in physical exercise, so we sacrifice. Or maybe it's around the first of the year and we realize we have to set a new budget, so we sacrifice in order to make some changes in our daily life in regards to finances. But I want us to look at that this morning because I think it's actually a very good thing. And it's something that should be a part of us as children of God. That practice of sacrifice, the practice of giving. And part of that is what you see this morning with you all participating in this. And this doesn't even scratch. There's still so much more out in the foyer. And you all deserve to be thanked for that. But it does take sacrifice. It does take us, willing to set aside some money, some time, some energy to go and to do something to try to help someone. But I want us to look at this. If you're going to invest in your future, what does it look like to live a life that is principled on this idea of sacrifice? If you notice what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 in verse 7, I want you to see this. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 in verse 7. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of giving also. When you think about words in the Bible, you think about faith, love, and what goes with that normally. You know this, faith, hope, and what? Love. And the greatest of these is love. Now, when we hear those words, they're words that we have heard a lot about, we've talked a lot about, and they have deep meaning with us. The idea of faith, the understanding and absolute belief of who God is and who Jesus is. The idea of hope, that we have this blessed hope that there is something bigger and better out there for us. That there is this eternal reward, this beautiful, beautiful existence for us for all of eternity. The idea of love. I mean, God is love. We understand that. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We get those three words. Now, I didn't spend a whole lot of time researching this because I don't have enough time to do stuff like this. But there are people who look at this. And I found this fascinating. When you think about those words, faith, hope, and love, I want you to notice this. Faith is used 246 times in Scripture. This belief in who God is, the idea of using faith 246 times. Hope is used 185 times. Love is used 733 times. In fact, those two words are used, two of those words are used right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. The thing that just blew my mind was not those three words and how many times they're used in Scripture, but this word, give. Or giving. You ready for this? It is used over 2,285 times through Scripture. God speaks to us and shares with us his message of faith, hope, and love in a way that in the process of sharing this narrative of God creating us, of sending his son to die for us, of him being resurrected and giving us a different life, a new life, a better life. And through the process of giving us that message, he talks about giving or give 2,285 times. Wow. Now, when you think about sacrifice, you think about a lot of different things. You think about sacrificing time. You think about sacrificing energy. You think about sacrificing money. And the idea of sacrifice and living a life of sacrifice is not just in one area of your life. It just is about who you are. It's about who we are. It's about children of God. It's about the Christian. When you think about living the called out life and you think about what Jesus has done for us and you think about our response to what he's done for us, we sacrifice. When we decided to become a follower of Jesus, we sacrifice. We sacrifice our wills. We sacrifice our abilities. We sacrifice our desires. We sacrifice the way that we look at life. We sacrifice our thoughts. We sacrifice our words. And we lay them all down before Jesus because we recognize that without him that we're lost. So we sacrifice everything. And in return, Jesus gives us this amazing life, and that the sum of it is so much more beautiful than the life that we were living before. But we are willing to sacrifice. The struggle with that is, and I believe one of the reasons why it's taught so much in Scripture, is because it's a daily sacrifice. The whole living sacrifice that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 12 has to do with this idea. So I want us to take some time this morning. We're going to look at two things this morning. We're going to finish it up tonight, and I pray, if you're not going to be with us at the building tonight, and you're going to be in a small group tonight, I encourage you, please go, because you're going to have a chance to unpack this thought and this idea even further, and I think it's critical to the way that we live our life, because I think that it strips away the heart of entitlement. I think it strips away the heart of selfishness. I think it strips away the heart of wanting my way, and it strips away at the idea of power and position. And I think you see this through Scripture. The more people were concerned with position and titles, the further that they got away from Jesus. Why? Because we sacrifice all of the stuff that we want. The positions, the power, the prestige, the material things. We sacrifice everything so that Jesus can use us to do what he wants us to do. So I want us to look at this morning. We're going to notice a couple of them. Go ahead and be turning to Matthew chapter 6, because we're going to start there, and we're going to look at another couple of passages. But I want you to see this, because when you think about sacrifice, it changes who we are. If we are not a people of sacrifice, we are not a people of Jesus. If we are not people who are willing to sacrifice ourselves and what we want in order to pick up what it is that Jesus wants us to do, we cannot be a follower of him. If we are unwilling to say no to ourselves and say yes to him, we cannot be a follower of his. This is why it's so important. If we're more concerned with living the way we want to live and acting the way we want to act and talking the way that we want to talk and using our money, and that's a weird statement there because it's not my money or your money, but using the things that God has given us the way we want to do it, and we're unwilling to truly sacrifice, it's going to be hard for us to be true followers of Jesus. I want you to notice Matthew chapter 6. Giving does a few things for us. And I want you to see, first of all, giving breaks the grip that strangles the world in which we live, and that is materialism. Western culture struggles with this probably more so than a lot of people on this planet. We live in a world that wants more and more and more and more. And if we're not careful, that pursuit of more and more and more doesn't just stop with things. It moves into power. We want more power. We want more prestige. We want to get our way more. We want what we want, when we want it, how we want it. You know, Burger King sums it up excellently. What is their slogan? Have it what? Have it your way. But in reality, what they're saying is, have it my way. It's what I want. Giving breaks that grip that materialism has on the world, that it has on us. where we just build bigger barns and bigger barns and bigger barns, and we want more and more and more, and we want new and new, and we aspire to just want. And if you look at what Jesus is calling us to do, he's calling us to say no to ourselves and yes to him. Notice Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, beginning, let's pick up in verse chapter 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Notice this, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Do you realize that God is not concerned with your money? He's concerned with what your money represents. Because if everything that you do and everything that you spend on, if it's house, if it's school, if it's clothes, if it's family, if it's worldly possessions, then guess where your heart is? If your heart is in more and more and more stuff, God's got a problem with that. We have to learn that one of the basic principles of following Jesus is sacrifice. Now, here's the neat thing about this. And if you look back at the Old Testament, you see this more clearly. You see this in the idea of the first fruits. You know, the Feast of the First Fruits was the third of the Jewish feast. You know, you got Feast of the Passover, Feast of Booths, or Feast of Tabernacles, and you got the Feast of First Fruits. And this doesn't make a whole lot of sense to us because of the world we live in, but in their world it was huge. Because the Feast of the First Fruits was when the first crops came up out of the ground. God said, I want you to take all of the stuff that's just come up, the first fruits, and I want you to sacrifice these in my name. I want you to take everything that you just now got, all the things that you've been working so hard for, and the first things that come up out of the ground, there's still more to come, but I want you to take the very first things, and I want you to take them, and I want you to sacrifice them to me. Now you think about that for a moment. They have labored and toiled the ground, they've worked, and they're hungry, they're tired, and God says, before you do anything, I want you to take everything that comes up first, and I want you to give it to me. You see this in the children of Israel as they cross over the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And there is Jericho, one of the oldest cities on the face of the earth, and they're commanded to go take this city. They send in spies. They march around the city. The city walls collapse and the city is destroyed. And this is the first victory that they have in the Promised Land. And what does God tell them to do with this city? What does he tell them to do? Rebuild it with huge barns and huge palaces, and you celebrate what you've accomplished. Is that what he tells them to do? Do you know the story? He tells them to leave it destroyed. You think about this for a moment. The children of Israel have been wandering for years. And they finally have a chance to come into the Promised Land. And the first city that they are to defeat and take over, God says, no, 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 that's not yours. You leave it destroyed. And if you'll do this, I will give you the rest of the Promised Land. But if you rebuild this city, the firstborn is going to die and your youngest son is going to die. And then you realize later on, King Ahab goes back and the prophecy comes true. But the picture is God's people who are giving everything that they have at that point in time to God because they realize that he is going to bless them in the future because it's a sacrifice. Imagine the children of Israel walking into the Promised Land after years and years of wandering, and they have this huge victory, and they want to set up and they want to celebrate this huge victory, and God says, no, you're going to give me this city. Because it's the first fruits. It's the first success that you've had, and I am going to take it, and you're going to give it to me. And the same thing happens in our life, or at least it should. I want you to notice one more thing about giving, and that is this. Giving blesses me in return. It blesses me in return. There's a beautiful passage in 1 Kings 17. If you have your Bibles, I really encourage you to go there. If you've got a tablet or your phone, look at 1 Kings 17, because there's a beautiful picture of this idea of sacrifice and what happens to us when we're willing to do it. 1 Kings 17, beginning in verse 8. This is dealing with Elijah, and I want you to see this. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And when he called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." Now get this picture. He's just seen this woman out gathering sticks. And he tells her, "I need some water, bring me some water, bring me a morsel of bread." And notice what happens. And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." And she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked. Only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and what?" What does it say, church? Die. In other words, this lady has nothing. Absolutely nothing. And she's scraping up any and everything that she can find so that she can fix a meal. It's their last supper, their last dinner, and they have nothing. And the very little bit that they do have, she's basically saying, "I don't have anything to give." And notice what Elijah says. And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear." In other words, be comforted. Do not fear. And do as you have said. But first make a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterward make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she left and thought Elijah was crazy and did the exact opposite, right? No. She went and did as Elijah said. And she and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither the jug of oil become empty, according to the word that the Lord spoke by Elijah. Do you see the picture? We have so much stuff. We have so many blessings. And if we're not careful, we just want more and more and more. There was a recent study by the Barna Research Group that found in the state, all the different states, what was the most wealthy county in the states. And I'll start with California because it was Orange County. Orange County was not just the most wealthy county in California. It was the fourth wealthiest county in all of America. But guess what they found out of that county? It was also, out of the state of California, the least when it comes to charitable giving. Now, if you really want to know, or take a guess, anybody want to take a guess at what the wealthiest county in Tennessee is? What do you think it is? Is it Sumner County? Yes or no? Is it Williamson County? Yeah, it is. Charitable giving there, believe it or not, is behind some of the most poor counties in our state. Why is it that people who've been blessed with so much stuff do not understand the concept of sacrifice? Why is it that we are so concerned with filling up barn after barn after barn after barn with stuff, instead of giving God everything that we have right now because we know that He's going to take care of what we have need for tomorrow? In so many ways, God tests our faith in Him through our finances. And we're willing to trust God with our salvation. We're willing to trust God with our children. We're willing to put our faith in Him when it comes to worship. But for whatever reason, when it comes to our finances, it's almost like we just want to keep it to ourselves. There are so many things in Scripture. Now, this not just the faith, hope, and love, and give thing blew my mind away. But at least one half of all the parables that Jesus taught deal with giving. Think about it. The man who was giving to be seen by men. Now, we probably see this more than any other time in our country right now. People want to give to a school because they want their name on a building. People will give if they get recognition. People want to give at church if they get recognition and they feel like they got more skin in the game, so therefore they should deserve more power. It's absolutely the most unhealthy view of giving. Or not even giving like that. People withhold money and say, you know what, I'm going to withhold this. I'm not giving to you, God, because I don't like what men are doing. It's so dangerous. Jesus dealt with this in so many ways. Jesus, when somebody was coming in to offer a gift to the altar and remembered that that person had a problem with someone else, what does Jesus say to do? Does he say, go ahead and offer your gift, get credit for it with God, and then go talk to people about the problem? What does he say? Do it when? And do it right now. And give later. The lady who comes forward it's such a sacrifice for her just to give a shekel. It's all she's got. It's much like this lady right here. She doesn't have hardly any food. She's got a little flour. She's got a little oil. She's got a little water. But it's all she's got to her name. And she's willing to give that. And then you have some really, really wealthy person in Jesus' parable who's giving a large sum of money, but it doesn't represent the same thing. What does Jesus talk about? God doesn't need my money, but he needs my heart. And he wants my heart. And in so many ways, the way that I give, it says so much more about my heart than I even realize. Sacrifice is a principle of being a follower of Jesus that I think we all need to apply more to our life. I think we should say no more to ourselves and say yes more to God. We've done this before. You think about what Jesus did for us. Jesus died on the cross, offered up salvation, and Jesus said, listen, you come to me. I'm the only way. The only way to come to the Father is through me. And he died on the cross, and we are asked to sacrifice ourselves. We're asked to give what? We're asked to give everything that we have right now and lay it down in front of God, in front of Jesus. And it's the same principle of the first fruits, especially the Feast of the First Fruits. It's the same principle that you see in Jericho, where you give everything you've got today, right now, to God, and then look what you get in return. The children of Israel got all of the promised land if they gave God Jericho. You and I this morning get all of eternity when we give God everything. Everything that we have right now, we just give it to him. You know, one of the things that blows my mind about living in our country, and it's wonderful, it is. Now, this past week was interesting, seeing all the different reactions. And it makes me realize that people are far more concerned about earthly things than they are heavenly things sometimes. Because believe it or not, whether or not Trump or Hillary won, God was always going to be in control. And God's plans are always going to be right. And God's plans are always going to work. But it shows me in so many ways that we as followers of Jesus, if we're not careful, we don't give him everything. We like to have a little power for ourselves. We like to have a little control for ourselves. We don't completely sacrifice it all. The way you give says more about your heart than you think. It says more about your relationship and your maturity and your relationship with God than you think. If you want a neat study, go study the parables of Jesus and notice half of them that deal with giving and ask yourself, which person am I in this story? Am I the person like this lady who's giving every bit of everything I have and I'm giving it to God? Or am I this person who's been blessed with material gain, and I'm giving a sizable sum, but it's not anything compared to what this person's doing? Am I the person who's willing to make some large contribution to the kingdom of God, but yet I've got problems with people that are unresolved, and I don't care about those things because I want God to see my large sum of contribution. And you ask yourself, which one of these am I? You know, we sing a song every Sunday, and I want to ask you to think about something this morning. As we sing a song and you think about sacrifice, and asking yourself, are you truly sacrificing everything for God? Are you giving Him everything? Are you giving up everything? Are you giving up sin? Are you giving up hatred? Are you giving up bad relationships? Are you just giving them up to God and saying, God, they're yours. You help me fix them. As we sing this song, I want to challenge you to do something. I want you to react to the first thought that comes to your mind. Because in so many ways, the Spirit is trying to lead. And we allow temptation and we allow devil to come in and override that first thought. That first thought of, I need to do something different. I need to sacrifice. I need to give up. I need to give in to God. And I need to say yes to Him and no to myself. Listen to that first thought. Because the next thought that follows it, I promise you, is going to be a negative thought that says, don't. Don't. God has been asking of all of us for all of time to give Him everything we have right now. And He's promised to bless us in more ways than we can ever imagine. He's asking you to give Him everything right now. If you need to give Him your sins, if you need to give Him your life, listen to the first voice as we stand and sing.